Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
We're back on FST, hour number three. Closed out our NBA coverage. That was fun.
That was good stuff.
We got to talk about that a lot. We probably could keep talking about it. We didn't even talk. We barely talked about it with the second round, although Cole Swicker, who was really good, mentioned the D'Anthony Melton thing. I think that's an important add for Houston. We talked baseball. We talked World Cup. What's going on? We got Korea, Mexico right now. That's just kicked off. So we're talking NFL. And obviously, we got big, big story. Gene Steratore retired. That's it. That's what we're leading with after 15 years. They lost a lot of veteran referees this offseason.
You see the Jeff Triplett stuff?
Hockley, Jeff Triplett, Gene Steratore, and they're all done.
Did you see what happened there? He's going to be, I think, at the Monday Night Football quote referee expert. And everyone was like, he is, without a doubt, the worst referee I have ever seen.
Corey Parson and Craig Carton on the Carton and Friends show were talking about this yesterday. But it's funny because they were like, how is that guy going to work there when people already hate him? But it is, that's it. They picked their guy. I would have gone Ed Hockley, but I think Hockley is like, there was a funny note that Hockley, somebody tried to reach out to him a couple of months ago. I think it was like a Deadspin or somebody like that. And he responded back by email. He's like, you know what? I'm retired. I'm not doing any interviews. So I'm in my motorhome. Peace out. And that was it. He's done. I think he might be a guy that he's retired, officially retired, and he's moved on. But yeah, we'll see. Good luck to Jeff Triplett. That'll be fun.
As if people didn't complain about broadcasts enough.
Mike Carey used to do it, and he was a good referee, and he got almost everything wrong on television. Almost everything. It was like a bad gambling run, like watching your friend just get destroyed at a blackjack table. That's what it was like watching Mike Carey on television. He would get everything wrong. When there were 50-50 calls, he would just call it the other way. And who was the guy that John Gruden? It wasn't Jerry Seaman. I can't remember the guy. But John Gruden used to just destroy him. It was uncomfortable to watch because John Gruden was nice to virtually everyone, including the players sometimes, but he didn't need to be. But that referee that used to do the games with him and Sean McDonough, Gruden would just practically get in his face about how wrong he was and how bad the referees were. And he would just be like, I'm just here. I'm just working television just like you. Anyway. The real big story is not the referees. Should never be. But it is Jameis Winston. We talked a little bit about at the beginning of the show. And here's the first thing I'll say. So the rumors are that he's going to miss three games. Right? Right, Kev?
Yes.
Right.
We don't still really
know. The Buccaneers' first three games of the season. What's that?
I was going to say, we still don't really know exactly right for what they just said. It's the personal conduct policy. But they haven't. We don't have this.
Right. So here's what it is. Actually,
have you ever seen this before?
Shout out to Craig.
Can I quickly ask
shout
that?
Out to Craig Carton, who actually clarified this yesterday. There's a reason for this. Yes, the incident happened in March of 2016, so over 2 years ago. The NFL began an investigation on November 17th, 2017. The reason they began the investigation is because the Uber driver had not come forward until last year. Onset of the Me Too movement, she felt more confident that she could come out and allege this groping incident. But the reason that they can still punish him, because there's no charges that are going to be filed, the reason they can still punish him is because as part of the CBA, when there is a complaint filed against you, which there was, it just didn't lead to charges, you have to tell the NFL about it. You have to inform the NFL of any sort of ongoing legal investigation, okay. And he did not. So that is why they are now free to punish him as they see fit. There's a lot of tentacles to this story, all of which we don't have to get into, but there's absolutely a he said, she said situation, yeah. Because the original story from Jameis's camp was that Jameis was in the back seat next to Ronald Darby, his former teammate, and now another gentleman named Brandon Banks, correct?
Yes.
Brandon Banks has now jumped on, has told a different version of events. Darby said that Jameis was never in the front seat. In fact, I think Darby said there was only the two of them in the cab.
I think the way it is that in the Darby version of the story, the way the Winston story is that Banks was actually in the front seat. And
front seat, right.
The part where this gets, I'll let you finish as you.
Yeah, let me set it up. So that was the story, that Banks was in the front seat. Banks is saying, yes, they did travel like that on the way to this nightclub. But Jameis became intoxicated, got unruly. His friends walked him out to an Uber, put him in the front seat. Jameis was alone with this driver, where she alleges that the incident went on. That would sort of back up her story. Why is Brandon Banks going against his friend Jameis and Ronald Darby's account of the story? Is it because he feels the need to bare his soul and wants to be on the right side of justice? Well,
so then can I interject quickly?
You could argue against that. Yes, go ahead.
Because I don't know if you know the, I don't know if the backstory is the right way to put this, but Brandon Banks, those statements came from his attorney, because Brandon Banks in August of 2017 was sentenced to 15 years.
I'm getting
years.
There. Let me get there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. Brandon Banks is a former Vanderbilt football player who was sentenced to 15 years in prison as one of the members of the Vanderbilt football team that gang raped a fellow student in 2013, I believe it was. So those, you're right, those statements were via his attorney. Banks did not speak to the NFL as part of the investigation, although I think they had the right to speak to him or to request to speak to him. They did not go to his attorney on any of this kind of stuff. So they're, I don't know what witnesses they used. They obviously spoke to the Uber driver of some sort. But Brandon Banks is also appealing his 15-year conviction for rape. And that's the many tentacles of the story. It is up to the individual to judge whether they believe Brandon Banks or Jameis Winston or Ronald Darby or the Uber driver or whoever else they want to believe in all of this kind of stuff. What Brandon Banks is convicted of, not accused, convicted of, is horrific. That was a brutal story. One of the Vanderbilt football players was dating this girl. She became intoxicated, and those guys basically took turns sexually assaulting her. It's just a brutal story. So I know it's not normally for this station on a Saturday morning, but we're trying to get to the heart of the story, what Brandon Banks did and how it relates to why he made comment on Jameis. I'm not saying you have to believe him, not believe him. The bottom line now is that the NFL is going to suspend Jameis Winston. If this Brandon Banks story is true about him groping and getting intoxicated and getting unruly, it's just like another thing with Jameis. And when it comes to serious allegations like this, my stance, and honestly, this has been the way, I'll explain my background on this. I just have to let the legal stuff play out. I can't start saying that guys are guilty or not guilty of certain things because of accusations and their defense of those allegations. It goes back to be honest, and you are a much younger guy then, to the Duke lacrosse case. Because I remember vividly when that was going on. They had to shut down their lacrosse season. the stories coming out about them were horrible, that they may have ganged up on this woman and sexually assaulted her and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It was all bogus. And people were protesting on campuses and talking about the entitlement of these lacrosse players, which, you know, a lot of athletes are entitled. Lacrosse players, basketball players, football players, a lot of them are. But all of the negative stories told about those guys in the Duke lacrosse case were phony, trumped up by a DA and a woman who ultimately went to prison for murder. So I always take pause when levying allegations of players. But do I think Jameis is a jackhole? Yeah, I do. I think he's not matured one bit, and stuff keeps coming up. And what he was accused of at Florida State is the worst of it. This is right in line with that. But even the other stuff is really stupid. And when it keeps happening over and over again, I think Jameis is out of chances with me.
I think I really, really do appreciate what you said there, because I think that a lot of people on a lot of sports talk shows, and it's, I guess they think it's their job, but they'll come in and they will either be red in the face screaming and telling you why Jameis Winston needs to be out of the league today. And there will be others on the side who are using the bank's baggage as evidence that Jameis Winston is completely innocent and none of this happened. And I think to be firmly on either side of that right now is a complete mistake. You need to let these things unfold. But I do think that it is very important that when the information is provided to us, that we act accordingly. Jameis Winston has now been in a ton of trouble. And the reality of it is, just because he is talented does not mean that he can be allowed to get away with it. And at some point, the Bucks are going to have to make a decision on this thing. I actually remember when we had that conversation about quarterbacks and who could be there. And I remember Jameis was on your list. And I was like, whoa, Mike, like, he's not going anywhere. Like, I understand he's maybe not lived up to the hype, but he's still, you know, he's still got a lot of talent, this, that, and the third. But now I kind of understand why you put him on this list, because it has a lot more to do than touchdown interception ratio. And there's a lot more to the Jameis Winston
story. It's been
story.
About that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Jameis is a bad decision maker. And I think that sometimes translates onto the football field and often off the football field. Because even if you don't believe the most serious stuff, he's still stealing crab legs because he thinks it's funny, and jumping up on tables in the student union and swearing stuff, which he thinks is funny, which is an internet meme, which if it wasn't him, maybe people be okay with it. But he would already been accused of stuff, and it was a really stupid thing to do. So the reality for Jameis is that some of this is football and some of this isn't. And when you're the face of the franchise and this kind of stuff keeps coming up, people aren't going to want to deal with it. I mean, he went 3-10 last year. He completed 63% of his – we're just going to transition to football now, because I don't want to be on my soapbox. I'm not the type of guy that's – I try not to be on my soapbox, but it's just kind of where I'm at with Jameis. So football-wise, he went 3-10 last year. They won two of the three starts, and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis was hurt. He had 3,500 yards last year, 19 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. The single biggest problem with Jameis's play has been the touchdown to interception ratio, 22-15, improved to 28-18, still is 18 interceptions, and then 19-11 last year. Obviously, you need to get those numbers wider apart. I've always thought, play-wise, that he had a lot of Ben Roethlisberger in him, and I could see him over time elevating into a player similar to Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's a pretty lofty expectation for the guy to be a Hall of Famer and a two-time Super Bowl champ and all this kind of stuff. So I don't think that his upside is necessarily there, but I think he could be a similar type of player, you know, a little smaller, not a good athlete, but not the type that's going to run. Do you know what I mean? How Ben is kind of shifty in the pocket. Jameis could be that kind of guy too. But he's not there yet, but Ben Roethlisberger wasn't there yet in his first three seasons. That's why I've always kind of made that comparison. Anyway, Let me give you their first three games, because that was the thing I wanted to lead with on the football side of things. Their first three games of this 2018 season are the toughest first three games of a season for any team in the Super Bowl era, based on their opponents' records in the previous season. Week one at Saints, 11-5. That's an L, even if Jameis is playing. Week two versus the Eagles. That's an L, even if Jameis is playing. Week three versus the Steelers. Steelers are going to be favored in that game, but they drop weird games on the road sometimes. So they're coming out of there 1-2 at best, and now Fitz is going to have to try and take over most likely. And I just wonder what it means for Jameis long term. I just don't know if Jameis, you know, some people are going to have their moral restrictions to taking somebody like Jameis, and they won't draft him at all on their fantasy teams. I would say I don't know how good this season is going to look, although you could probably make the counter argument, Kevin, that maybe it's good that he's missing those three games and he won't get beat up and go 0-3 and throw a ton of picks.
Well, I do think that and we'll carry this obviously right over into the next segment, but I know at some point we're going to be starting our division previews. And we, you know, at one point we were just kind of going back and forth with the NFC South, and I was like, man, I wonder if, you know, Jameis takes that step forward. Maybe the Bucs could be there. You're like, no. That's the stop. The Bucs are going to be bad. Don't worry. No arguments will now be made for the Bucs doing anything to compete in the NFC South with the start to the season that they're going to be getting.
Yeah, it's tough. Decidedly the worst quarterback situation in that division. As a team that's finished.
Fitz might not even be the backup.
Six seasons in that division. Yeah. Right. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about my draft and some other stuff related to the NFC South. Mike and Kevin back after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Beatles Saturday on FNTSY. Coming up, a rock block from the Beatles, Saturday morning on FNTSY.
That's my I would sacrifice DJ. 20 minutes of airtime to just leave the Beatles. I don't think we can.
You just want me to do Beatles song intros? Day in the life.
I think that you could nail it.
Up next, FNTSY. It's Imagine.
Your intro into the Royal Wedding convinced me that you can intro anything. You've got it down pat.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Appreciate it. I'll work on my DJ skills for maybe we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do, I don't know, getting the lead out on Sunday morning. Ah. Do Zeppelin, just as Zeppelin hour.
Not bad.
All right, so let's talk about going to a World Series game. We talked baseball in the first hour. Jesus Aguiar. I always like to lead with Jesus Aguiar and Pat Corbin. Who's not excited about those guys? Who wants to go to a 2018 World Series game? Tune in to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network between July 8th and July 17th as we'll be playing the DKMS Trivia Challenge for your shot to call in with a chance to attend the Fall Classic in person. The number to play is 844. The number to play is 844-843-6879. That's 844-84-FNTSY. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. Find out how you can help the cause and go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. It's the DKMS Trivia Challenge, July 8th through July 17th. Call in and win. So hopefully you're hitting us up on Twitter. I forgot to do my polls. I screwed up. What are you going to do? I say sometimes you mess up. You're shooting your mouth off about Jameis Winston and Robert Williams and God knows what. And you forgot to do the polls. I wanted to see the Luka versus Trey poll. I think Luka probably would have won it. But anyway, Fantasy Sports Radio at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Kevin Walsh is at the Kevin Walsh. I said the number earlier, 844-843-6879. If you're listening to us on TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, which is free to download and free to listen, thank you. Appreciate it. So what do we got? Bunch of different ways to go here. We got the Jameis thing. There's, despite the public statements, Odell Beckham is still reportedly considering a holdout.
Let's talk holdout. I want to
talk about Odell.
Not even it doesn't have to be in specifically Odell in the vacuum, but as a whole, I have found this holdout situation.
I do think the Julio Jones contract demands are ridiculous. I do.
So I'd rather
got
start
3 years
there.
What? Left.
He is paid less money than Jarvis Landry.
I know. It works out that way. He got paid the most at one point. This is not I understand. I'm usually pro player, and the owners just run over the NFL players every time there's a CBA, mm-hmm. and the players get screwed. But Julio was the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. He just got that contract. I think it's less about the Landry thing and more like Matt Ryan just got $100 million guaranteed right in his face. I think that's what he's salty about. And look, if this negotiating tactic works out for him, God bless. But I do think it's ridiculous because Atlanta can't set that precedent of renegotiating deals 3 years out. It would be insane for them to do it. They could maybe shift a little bit of guaranteed money around for him, but for him to hold out, I don't think they're going to budge. I mean, it's going to seriously impact their team, but is Julio really going to hold out for the year and then try to get released and move on? Like, I just don't see it. I think he'll be there in training camp because he'll come to his senses, and Atlanta's going to be like, I'm sorry, but this is a long-term deal. And we're not going to renegotiate that. Odell is different. Odell's coming up at the end of his deal. Like, there's a reason why Odell wants to get paid now. He doesn't want to get hurt in a contract year. Mm-hmm.
So I do think that Julio's situation is
I don't want to come off as anti-player. I'm not. But I just...
No, I think that...
It's insane for Atlanta to do that.
I think that Julio's situation is vastly different than that of Jadeveon Clowney, Khalil Mack, David Johnson, Odell Beckham, because he is currently under contract for 3 years. He was given the type of deal that Odell and David Johnson are seeking. It's just that it's now an outdated contract. So I think that his situation is different. But I do think that I would be hard-pressed to really find a scenario where I wouldn't side with the player because of the way that the money works in the NFL and the how quickly things can change upon them and how often the teams come out on the better side of the deal and how violent the sport can be. Yeah, I would want that financial security. The thing that I do always find so fascinating, and I am not coming, this is not a response into what you just said, because I do think that the Julio situation is different. I still think that they should look into paying Julio, but I think that it is different. I've always found it interesting that when it comes to players holding out, typically, when you think about this situation, right, with, let's just say, Odell, people will start to criticize him, saying he is missing valuable practice time while prioritizing his money. But nobody will ever seem to say the Giants are not prioritizing having their best player there because they're trying to save money. It is a negotiation. It is both sides trying to come out better on the deal. It's not that the Falcons don't think that Julio Jones should be paid more money than Jarvis Landry. It's just the market's reset. They like where they're at, and they don't want to have to shift it. I agree it can set precedents, but I do think that I can't call what Julio is doing wrong or a baffling decision when it's comparable to what the Falcons are doing. Like, the Falcons do not think that Jarvis is worth more money. It's just that they don't have to pay Julio in their mind. They're trying to do what financially makes sense for them. And I do think that Julio is doing the same. And I've always been fascinated by how quickly people are to say, well, why doesn't the player care about the practice? Well, the Giants are saying that, no, us figuring out this money thing is also more important than us having Odell there. Otherwise, this deal would be done. We knew last year that this was coming. This could have got done. They're trying to wait as long as possible to have to pay him as little as possible.
Yeah, they want to see how he's coming back from injury. The Giants don't have to do it now. So, to your point, it's a negotiation. The Giants don't have to do it right now, so they're going to wait as long as they possibly can. If Odell was a model citizen and never got hurt, he'd probably already have a deal. If I'm being honest. But not definitely.
Yeah, I know, but Khalil doesn't have one.
I get it. I'm saying probably, but not definitely. Aaron Donald doesn't have a deal yet. He's been as good as he can ask for. So the teams wait as long as they can to do it. They know somebody's going to get hurt. They might have to sign somebody else. But the Giants signed a lot of free agents on the defensive side of the ball. They're committed to a lot of money. So, Julio Jones, just to give you an idea of where his contract sits, he has these 3 years left, including the season. He has the fourth highest total value committed to him via contract. Average per year, he's eighth behind Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, A.J. Green, Devontae Adams. Sammy obviously just signed that deal. A couple other guys. All those guys have signed more recent deals than has Julio. But, in the long run, Julio Jones is getting paid almost every dime of this contract. They haven't asked him to restructure or anything like that. So you need to consider that. Very often you look at NFL contracts, you really should just take it in a three-year block, because that's really all they're committed to. Julio signed a, 6-year deal. In total, it was $71 million. He's going to get almost all of that. Now, he'll be 31. This is the irony. Julio's only going to be 30 after next season. So he plays this year, next year, 30. He will have cleaned up $59 million. And then he can ask for an extension. And he could maybe get a couple of years if he's playing at a high level. I think there's a bunch of factors into this. The Matt Ryan thing right in his face. Other guys obviously getting paid more on an annual basis than him. Plus, he does have a chronic toe injury, which it stands to reason that he knows that. I'm not saying the sand is running out in the hourglass for Julio, but I don't think he's the guy that's going to play till he's 35.
I think that is.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how long he'll play. The bigger point, though, that does come from this, and I kind of wanted to have that initial discussion to perhaps get to this, because the NBA is player-driven, or at least relative to the rest of the sports. Could you imagine the Cavs trying to get into an extension talk with LeBron, and LeBron wouldn't show up to games, let alone practice? That would never happen. I just wonder if at any point...
It happened in San Antonio. Well, It's 73 games worth of holdouts.
I wonder if at any point...
I'm sure his quad was really hurt for all 73 of those games.
Kawhi's uncle is going to find you. If you're listening, Kawhi's uncle, I think you made some great moves.
The one thing you really want to do when you're guiding your professional career is fire the professional guys and just bring in your uncle. That's what you want to do. That's sound advice. I actually don't know anything about his uncle, and he may be a lockdown businessman, negotiator, and agent. So I have to concede that I don't know anything about him. But, it's an interesting move, to say the least.
To the point, though, right, is I wonder if NFL players, and maybe they have not come together as a whole, but even if personally they feel like they are trying to shift some of the imbalance of power. Kirk Cousins' contract of the 3 years, all 84 guaranteed, was kind of a shift, right? So now the question becomes, what's the next shift? And we're seeing players just hold out at a far more frequent rate. We've talked at length about the Brady Belichick stuff. Gronk didn't go. Now we have, a guy like Julio Jones, whose situation is very new. I remember when Aaron Donald sat out And everybody at the time knew Aaron, that is the best defensive player in football. He still doesn't have that damn contract. And he missed games. So at what, like the this year, right, we know the Rams are all in Super Bowl or bust. Like that's the type of moves that this team made.
Yes, sir.
So if Aaron Donald says, no, that's what you, because they're not winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Donald. I don't care. Aaron Donald says, you pay me, no Super Bowl. They better damn well pay him. And if they don't pay him, then maybe there becomes a bigger change. That's just kind of what I'm interested in. If at any point does a player sit out long enough to create a big enough change? And, you know, Julio maybe is the Aaron Donald wants the damn Super Bowl. He's young enough in his career. Odell's young. Like, Julio's at a point where he's like, I've got my money. I will not show up until you pay me more of it. I think that that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, like, you're requesting that just a couple of years after you signed the deal when you got 3 years left. It's not unprecedented, but it's different. The Rams have the least cap space in the league, by the way, so it's going to get more complicated before it gets better for Aaron Donald and the Rams. So Julio's the fifth-ranked wide receiver at half PPR. I'm looking at – I'll just go to full PPR just so we're on the same page here. He's fifth behind Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr., and Michael Thomas. I think that's right. I don't have any disagreements there. Does this impact my thoughts on Julio? Not yet. If you're doing an early draft, you know, like in the next – before training camp starts, I think you have to take it into account. I think you're risking missing him for a couple games or longer. But – we shall see. You know, it usually happens. He gets fined for a while. Maybe this is a tactic for Julio to not do training camp. We saw guys do that over the years. It's usually
Le'Veon Bell, such as
like that.
Le'Veon Bell's motto now, right? Is I'll see you at week one.
Yeah. Yeah. He shouldn't. I don't need him in training camp. He's not going to touch the ball anyway. Nor should Julio, nor should Odell. Just run some practices. And if it's all the same coaching staff and you know the playbook, like, they don't really need to be there, you know, as long as it's guys like that that know how to stay in shape, I'm okay with it. So, all right, Scott Fishbowl, that live draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. We had Scott Fish on just a couple of weeks ago to talk about it. I've been doing a mock draft just to kind of get in the flow of it. It's slow style. We're doing – how many rounds are we doing? We're doing all the 22 rounds. So – it's a super flex draft. It is a half point PPR all the way around. That includes, but there's also a half a point for first downs too. So keep that in mind. You gonna want players that have the rock in their hand a lot, pick up a lot of first downs, and we'll tell you the way this one is going. I'm currently in round, I think we're finally in the 10th round. Yeah. I just drafted my 10th draft pick earlier. And we're in the midway of the 10th round. Yeah, it came off the boat, Todd Gurley at one. Then it went Odell, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, Antonio Brown, Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Hopkins. I picked ninth in the first round. I went with Alvin Kamara. I was kind of hoping Barkley would get there because it would be fun to pick him. It's a mock draft. I'm not playing this team out. So it would be kind of fun to put a team together there. But I'll have Alvin Kamara without Mark Ingram for four games. By the way, there's high-profile players that are suspended this year, which is kind of interesting. High-profile fantasy players. Jameis obviously is relevant in super flex leagues and two QB leagues. Let's see where he is in standard rankings, although it may have already been adjusted because of where people had him. Yeah, Jameis is probably like around 15. Is that right? Yeah, he's down at 18 now. So whatever. Jameis is relevant in super flex and two QB leagues. You have Mark Ingram gone for a month. You have Julian Edelman gone for a month. So that's kind of interesting. So Alvin Kamara at nine. Right after him, Kareem Hunt, Michael Thomas, and then somebody went quarterback real early in Aaron Rodgers. But I can't criticize them because this is a super flex league, and I wrapped around to the 16th overall pick and took Russell Wilson. So that was my start, Alvin Kamara and Russell Wilson. You like those guys?
Yeah, what happened to Alvin Kamara moving up to one? I feel like him going at nine is it surprising? I mean, obviously we haven't gotten into the full swing of things, right? But I remember, I mean, that was the initial talk right away when Ingram went down. I was like, all right, he's got to be one of the first three running backs. Could justify taking him as the first overall pick.
Well, he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sixth running back. So you had Gurley, Johnson, Le'Veon, Zeke, and Saquon Barkley in front of him. I would take Kamara over Barkley, especially with the Mark Ingram situation. I think it's a deal. I'll talk a little bit more about this team, and then Kevin's going to fire some best ball questions at me, so it gets you started for your fantasy football season. It's Mike and Kevin on FST closing it out right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Themed artist every week? That seems a little ridiculous, but maybe we'll do it. Dude, Saturdays and Sundays now. Just pick different musical themes. I have a hard enough time coming up with topics on the show sometimes. I can't do the musical thing, too.
I need
a musical director like Rob Bowe and Sean Engel.
They both got this. We didn't even give this direction.
But Rob Bowe is moving on. He's moving on from the Fantasy Sports Network into a full-time gig at another streaming radio network, which I am very happy for him, but he's going to be moving on. So we're going to need Sean Engel to pitch in and be, you know, part of the musical thing. Or maybe you can do it. I don't know.
Me?
I love music. I'm going. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to see Dave Matthews in a couple of weeks. Just, you know, I'm gonna dust off an old pair of jeans. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't been to a concert in a long time. I really wanted to go to see Foo Fighters. It's like, the Foo Fighters are my white whale. It's one of my favorite bands of all time, and I've never seen them. It's my own fault for not, like, dedicating myself to go see them, but I just always took it for granted that I'd be able to see them. And they were just in New York, and I couldn't do it. I had a family trip planned at the same time. So, anyway, I'm going to see Dave Matthews in a few weeks. I'm excited about that. Should have some fun with my friends. And I would like to get to go see more concerts. It's tough when you have little kids to get out of the house at all at night. So concerts are even more difficult because there's a lot of organization and traveling and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I digress. So I'll give you a little bit more about my team right now in this mock draft. We can talk about some of the players. And you got some best ball questions before we get out of here. So I went Kamara, number one, Russell Wilson at two. Keep in mind, I will tell you, as will most experts, finally, are on board. Just wait if you're doing a standard league. Just wait on quarterback. Just wait. You can wait. You can get a good one in double-digit rounds. I'm not saying you have to be the last guy to pick one. I'm saying don't be the first. Every draft is different, so I can't tell you who to pick and when. But in any event, this is a super flex league, which means that you can start. Kev, you know this, and I just want everybody, don't know your levels of play at this point, but the super flex means you can start a quarterback in one of your flex positions. This league in particular has four flexes. We're starting, I think, 11 players a week. You can start up to two QBs, up to six running backs, up to seven wide receivers, and up to like four tight ends. But you start 11 players. So it's basically seven starters plus four flexes. One of those can be a QB. It really should be a QB every week if you have everybody healthy. So I got Kamara, then Wilson. Third round comes back to me, and I get Devonta Freeman. So I start off with Kamara and Freeman as my running backs. And then wraps all the way back around, and I went with Drew Brees. A lot of people waited on QBs, and here's what I knew from last year and playing in the Scott Fishbowl. People took for granted this quarterback so that they can get. Now, I'm not suggesting people didn't get good ones late, but for me to walk in with Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara and Devontae Freeman, I'd feel really good about that. at the start of my draft. I don't think it'll go that way when I'm doing an actual Scott Fish Bowl, but, you know, I'm sacrificing wide receivers and making sure I have two lockdown running backs. Hopefully they stay healthy, but there's no guarantees there. And two lockdown QBs that I can start every week.
Yeah, I've never been able to play in a super flex league. I've always wanted to try my hand at it just to kind of see.
So we'll do one this year. You and I'll be in one this year, whether it's together or against each other. We'll make sure that we get you in one.
Here's my
type of league to play in.
My one question that I don't know if it's obvious, but maybe it is. Are super flex drafts treated the same way as a 2QB? If does that make sense?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. 2QB leagues, it's desperate.
Yeah.
Like, it gets real thin in the third round. People kind of do their first round. They might take an RB. They might take a wide receiver there because it's an elite guy like a Beckham or an Antonio Brown or whatever. They're not going to pass up Le'Veon Bell or whatever it might be. But then it's fast and furious. Super flex leagues can be that way, but maybe a little less so. But still, I treat them like it's a 2QB league because I know I'm going to want to start 2QBs. And I could have waited and not taken Drew Brees there. Yeah, but I like Drew Brees this season, and I like Russell Wilson this season. So according to, I'm just looking at Fantasy Pros, Russell Wilson's the second-ranked quarterback. Drew Brees is the seventh. So if I had two top seven QBs, and according to this, let's just for purposes of discussing it, I have Devonta Freeman at 11 and Alvin Kamara at 5. You know, I have two RB1s and two QB1s to start out. But the sacrifice comes at the wide receiver position. And I'm tentative about T.Y. Hilton this year, but that's who I took in round 5. You got Andrew Luck coming back, right? So you can expect a bump there. T.Y. Hilton is always going to be a peaks and valleys guy. He's in a division with some tough corners now. You got the Jaguars corners, which are really rough to go against. And obviously Houston spent some time acquiring defensive backs that could be tough on T.Y. Hilton, and he's normally scorched them, just annihilated the Texans over the course of his career. So going to have issues there. So what did I miss? Jags, Houston, Colts, Titans. So Titans they still haven't fixed that yet. But anyway, I have some reservations about T.Y. Hilton. He'll be a peaks and valleys guy. I think I had him on my Scott Fish Bowl team last year, in fact. And he had some frustrating stretches. Anyway, my number 6 pick was Cooper Kupp. Mm. It's a first down league, and it's a half-point PPR league. So I'm going to be good with a guy like Cooper Kupp, a guy that's going to have a lot of targets, the ball in his hands a lot. Those types of players, even if his upside isn't like those elite wide receivers, Cooper Kupp in a first down half-point PPR league is more valuable than he would be even in some other scoring leagues.
Yeah, I was on the board the other day. I was looking at Cooper Kupp. He was right next to Nelson. I think it was Nelson Agholor he was right next to. And it gave me pause, but I was like, I mean, Cooper Kupp was just, he was fantastic last year. And I think because I've seen Agholor struggle before, and I don't know if that's silly reasoning, but I was on the clock. It was between those two, and I ended up going Kupp. I think if I were forced to take the same decision in a similar spot, I would diversify and go Agholor. But in that moment, I ended up going with Kupp.
So here's where I got good value. So the next pick, I actually went back to running back. I picked up Nick Chubb there, which is probably early, but the thought process being he could be a pretty good upside guy because Nick Chubb has an opportunity to win that job. I think they're going to give Carlos Hyde a whole bunch of carries. I think Duke Johnson's going to get a whole bunch of catches. But in week 8, what if Carlos Hyde's not doing so well? Nick Chubb's starting running back. I'll take that. That's the chance I take there. Came back, got Jack Doyle. I really waited on tight end, but I was thrilled to have Jack Doyle because some of the other guys on the board were like Trey Burton and a few other guys. I'm in on Jack Doyle this year. And I know I have two Colts in Hilton and Doyle. That's not ideal, but it's not that bad. I mean, I think Andrew Luck's going to be able to throw the ball just fine. I have to hope that. And then those guys can distribute a couple of hundred targets. I'm good with that. Jack Doyle's a good tight end, first down guy too. But here's where I got some good value. My next two picks, and the irony is that I was looking at Jamison Crowder the same time as looking at Kupp, and three rounds later I ended up getting him. I think Jamison Crowder could be a monster half point PPR type of guy this year. Right now,
I'm surprised he's going
monster's probably overstating it. Yeah,
relative
so
to the value that could
he's
be monster.
Ranked. Yeah, he's ranked 30th. Amongst, according to Fantasy Pros, let me just check, full point PPR. Yeah, full point PPR. He's right behind the likes of Robert Woods and Corey Davis and Pierre Garçon, right in front of Sammy Watkins, Devin Funchess, and Emmanuel Sanders. That's an interesting group, right? Because those are very different types of players bunched together. Garçon and Crowder and Woods are the high catch total guys. And then you got Davis and Watkins and Sanders, which are historically explosive type players. Davis, we'll see what he does, really. He's hurt a lot of his rookie season. But I liked Jamison Crowder there. And then I came back with one of the suspended guys, Julian Edelman, who I got in the 10th round. And I've talked about all the risks on here before with Belichick keeping him in the doghouse. And you don't know, maybe he's just going to favor Hogan for the rest of the year. But I'm counting on Tommy Terrific to overcome that negativity and feed the ball to his friend Julian Edelman 150 times in the 12 weeks that he's able to play. So that's the team right now. We're only halfway through, but a receiving core of Hilton, Kupp, Crowder, and Edelman, and running back core of Freeman, Kamara, Chubb with Wilson and Breeze at QB. I would feel very good about a draft like this, even if it were live. So that's where I'm at right now on that team. It's just keeping the mock going, getting ready for the actual Scott Fishbowl draft. So you can ask me any questions about that, Kev, or feel free to fire me some other best ball questions.
I want to send you the best ball predicament that I ended up landing myself in, because it kind of lends back to one of our favorite topics, talking about placing quarterbacks, where they go, even back to the draft in a way. I had to make my last pick, and I didn't realize I took Big Ben and Derek Carr, and they were both week 7 bye week. So I obviously now needed to add a third quarterback. My options pretty much...
happened to me before.
My options pretty much were Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Bradford, Nick Foles, and Josh Rosen. Now we can take Rosen out of it. And I kind of took Baker out of the equation as well. Did I say Rosen?
Would you Yeah.
I meant to say Foles. I meant to say take Foles out of the equation and Baker, because I think if Tyrod was there, my decision would have been easier. Of the Flacco Jackson Rosen Bradford pairing,
That's a good question.
Very unsure what to do. I won't even tell you what I did. I'd rather talk it through first, because I'm still not sure that I ended up making the right decision.
I think the most likely, you have to go who's the most likely to be starting. And I would put it in order, Flacco first. So I don't even know what to do with the Jackson. I do think would have to come as a result of an injury.
He's been getting good reviews, though, Lamar, out of Baltimore's camp.
That would be ballsy for them to just say, sorry, Joe, thanks for the memories. It would be. And I don't know that John Harbaugh is going to do it, but maybe if you feel like that saves his job. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this before. I think John Harbaugh is on the hot seat only because it feels like they're getting restless. And with Ozzie Newsom moving on,
tomorrow.
there may be we could do that. There might be a regime change, even though I think John Harbaugh would get hired in 5 minutes. I really do think that. Mm-hmm. He's won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl in a year where his team wasn't as good as the teams that they were beating on the way to the playoffs. Joe Flacco just went on an amazing run, and I think overall Harbaugh did a good job. I mean, who knows? People could say, yeah, it's because Flacco threw 11 touchdowns and no interceptions, not because of John Harbaugh. I get it. You might be right. But maybe there's some desperation there. But I would say Flacco has the greatest chance of starting in week 7. Mm-hmm. Of those four, Jackson's probably last And I just think Josh Rosen's going to play this year. I just do.
So
even if, because Arizona's fighting the good fight in the press, but I don't know. I think that team's got a lot of issues. The David Johnson thing could save them and keep Bradford healthy. But that offensive line does have issues. I know I read the quote a couple of weeks ago that their offensive line coach thinks that they could be the best in the NFL. I don't believe him. It's fine for him to believe it and for them to believe it. I don't believe it. So I think Bradford, I mean, is he the most injury-prone player in the NFL still playing?
J.J. Watt? I mean, at this point,
Bradford's more injured than him.
Oh no, yeah, I'm just trying to offer even up even a name.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a bad submission.
It's a sad submission.
He's the most. I think he's the most injury-prone player still playing. At least, you know, I'm sure there's some guys on the ends of benches and fringe players that are constantly in and out of lineups, but he misses so many games, and God bless him for keep getting paid, but. I think it could be Josh Rosen by week 7. So I would probably just shade Bradford slightly in front of that because David Johnson can keep him healthy. But I would rank it Flacco, Bradford, Rosen, Lamar Jackson. And if you ask me tomorrow, I could say Rosen second. So that's why you draft Flacco there.
So that's what I took. I took Flacco because I was like, the worst case scenario is I don't have a quarterback for week 7. And all I'm really trying to do is just have a quarterback for week 7. Like, I'm not trying to hit big and have Lamar's week 15 production. That's why I went that route.
Is this a super flex or 2 QB league?
It's just best ball, so there's no moves.
Got it.
So you know what I mean? So I had to have someone to cover the bye week.
Yeah.
Got it. I will say this.
Well, technically you don't have to, right? Like you
I don't have zeros to. On the, yeah, I would just take a zero at quarterback for the week. But I felt like that would have been silly to head into the year, I guess it would be, automatically getting a zero quarterback week 17. Like, that would have been a bad move. I think whether Lamar plays or not depends on what you think Baltimore will be this year. If you think they're a playoff team, then Lamar, we're going to just see him kind of sporadically in some trick play situations. He will not start. Whenever or if at any point it's, okay, things are going really bad, it could actually be 7 games into the season that they would make the switch to Lamar. The Arizona thing to me is very different. I don't think that Rosen can outplay Bradford. I think Bradford is a good quarterback. It's just a matter of health.
I get it. So, yeah. So, I'm with the logic. You followed what I said I would do, so... I think we're all good. We're going to do a lot of football tomorrow. We'll do some NBA. Maybe we'll dive into some of those second-round picks. We'll obviously do some baseball, World Cup. I think Mexico's up 1-0 at halftime. A lot of the same topics we did today sports-wise, but we'll change it up, talk about different players. We'll go do a lot of NFL tomorrow, probably more than even the third hour, take a lot of Kevin's questions, hopefully some of your questions that you shoot me on Twitter. I'll engage with some people later today, and we'll have some fun tomorrow. Doing this for 3 hours again tomorrow. So
forward to it. Also, happy birthday, my brother Connor.
Happy birthday, Connor. Have an awesome day. How old is Connor?
19.
Can't drink yet, buddy. So I'll take you out for a beer in 2 years. So thanks for listening today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks to Robbo, Sean Engel, and Cole Zwicker for helping us out today.